Lord, we pray as always that you would open your word to us now and open our hearts to you. Do remind us of what a wonder your birth is. Stir up our hearts in adoration, Lord. We love you. Help us to love you more. In your name, amen. We have been looking at Jesus' birth more or less through the eyes of the angels, and we will continue to do that. We'll touch on a number of verses. You can follow along. I'll try to give you a little bit of leeway or just listen if you'd rather. But Jesus, as we've been talking about, became one of us, not one of the angels, but one of us. That's kind of been our ongoing theme. And that Jesus became one of us doesn't surprise us all that much because we've heard this story so often, and it's understandable. Anytime you hear a story a lot, or a song a lot, or whatever the case might be, it loses some of its power. And often the Christmas story probably doesn't even stir our hearts all that much anymore. But once again, I would submit to you that the fact that God became one of us ought to shock us. God did what? And he did that for who? So let's remind ourselves of some of the implications of Jesus becoming one of us. We've talked about some of this before. Some of this will be reviewed. Some of it won't be. First verse we'll look at is Hebrews 4:15. But because Jesus became one of us, there's all kinds of implications for us as the redeemed. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So as we mentioned this morning, he gets us. He understands where we're coming from. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. That means that every kind of thing we go through, he went through as well. There's nothing that we go through that would surprise him, shock him. He gets it all. He understands it all. He understands what we feel, how we think. Again, there's nothing that shocks him. He sometimes felt happy like we do, sometimes discouraged like we get, sometimes full of energy, sometimes bone weary, sometimes full of hope, sometimes not so full of hope. He never let his emotions rule him, but he had all the same emotions that you and I have. He gets us. And then Hebrews 5:8, he modeled our walk for us. He walked in a way that we are supposed to walk, so he modeled it for us. Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience. One obeys when one submits to a person's will, and Jesus' whole life was submitting to the Father. And so he modeled for us how we are supposed to walk as well. And again, obviously, we see this most clearly in Gethsemane, when he's begging the Father to take the cup from him, sweating the drops of blood, just wishing that there was some other way to save mankind other than going to the cross. But then he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It says in Hebrews 5:8 that he learned obedience. How does one learn obedience? By making the choice time after time after time after time until it's a habit or second nature. And so once again, he modeled for us how we are supposed to walk. Romans 8:34 says that he now, our big brother, he now intercedes for us. Who is to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Because Jesus is both God and man, he stands between God the Father and fallen man and intercedes on our behalf. So when Satan accuses me, Jesus, so to speak, says to the Father, "I died for Bob. All his sins are forgiven. He's not guilty anymore." And then he turns to Satan and he says, "I paid for his sins. Stop accusing him." And when I do stupid, Jesus prays for me. When I'm scared, he prays for me. When I wander, he prays for me. His eyes are always on us, and he's always interceding for us. Ephesians 5:2. He died as a man in our place so that we might be saved. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. When a man sins, the penalty is death. Because Jesus was a man, he could take the place of another man. Because he's God, he could take the place of all men. And so when he died as a man and as God, he took our place, so that whosoever might believe in him could have eternal life. Again, we've heard that so often, but that's amazing grace. That's amazing grace. 5 Ephesians 2:6, since Jesus died as a man, he rose and ascended as a man, as God, but also as man, which means you and I have ascended on high with him. In one sense, we are already seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 2:6 says we have been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. This means we have kingdom authority. It's easy to think of ourselves as victims. That's what people do, generally speaking. It's certainly what our culture does. Everyone's a victim. It's easy for us to think of ourselves as a victim. We are not victims. We have kingdom authority. We are seated at the right hand of the Father. And we are no more a victim than Jesus was when he was led to the cross. And when he was led to the cross, no one took his life. He gave it. And even as he was on the cross, he died in triumph. And so if Christ leads us to places that are difficult, hard, we are still not a victim. He wants to teach us things. He wants to pour us out for the world, whatever the case might be. But we're not victims. And just as he could go to the cross in victory, so to you and I. We go through our trials as we trust him and go through them in victory. Two more. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Since Jesus was fully human, one of us, and he will reign for all of eternity, so will you and I. 1 Corinthians 6:3, do you not know that we are to judge angels? In the broadest sense, the word judge means to be set over other people, to have administrative power, legal power, and so on and so forth. Because Christ was a man, he was raised above the angels, so too we will be raised above the angels. And we will literally reign with him over all of heaven and earth for all of eternity. It doesn't matter one whit to me whether I will be raised above the angels. Just being with Christ, that's all I care about, that's all I need. But still think about it, the privilege that he gives us. We who have sinned, we who have rebelled, talk about prodigal sons, we are prodigal sons, and we will be raised above the angels. Wow. Finally, Hebrews 2:11, Jesus will be our brother forever. Hebrews 2:11, he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. He was born a man. As I've said, he lived as a man. He died as a man. He rose as a man. He ascended on high as a man. He will return as a man. He will reign forever as a man, as God, but also as one of us. And unlike some people, he will not forget where he came from. It is our brother who sits on the throne. Our dear brother. How cool is that? So let me close with two stories. A 3-year-old was helping his mother unpack their nativity set. And as he pulled out each piece, he announced what it was. He would go, "Here's the donkey. Here's the cow, here's the shepherd, here's the angel, here's the king," so on and so forth. And then when he pulled out Jesus in the manger, he said, "And here's Jesus in his car seat." The second story, Adam was a bright three-year-old, and he had been told that he was of German descent, and he was very proud of that, German descent. When Christmas time came, Eileen Halstead asked him if he had a part for the Sunday school pageant, and he said, yes, I am going to be a German shepherd. Why do we chuckle at those two stories? Because we can totally relate to them, right? We've seen other kids do that, or when we were young, we did such things, or our kids did such things, or whatever the case might be, but we can totally relate to them. That's why we laugh, and that's why we chuckle. In the same way, Christ can totally relate to you. Totally relate to you. Whatever you are at, whatever you are going through, he gets it. He gets it. He truly, truly is one of us. And then, of course, as one of us, he died, he redeems us, he walks with us, and eagerly awaits for us to come home. I will say it again. How cool is that? Jesus, you are amazing, simply amazing. I thank you that you are one of us. Not just God, I'm glad you are God, but I'm also glad that you are one of us. You've been there, you've done that. You can relate to what we go through. And Lord, how I praise you for your grace. That you would die for us. Amazing. Amazing. Praise you, Lord, for your love, for your grace. You are infinitely good to us. We praise your name. Amen.